A question that we've all faced at one time or another in our life is, what's God's will for my life? And it's not just a one-time question. It's not just when a young person gets ready to graduate from high school, or where a young person gets ready to graduate from college. It's not just a question of the young. It's a question that we ought to ask every time we're about to make a decision in our life. God, what is your will? What is your will? We ought to ask it not only for the big decisions about what job to take or where to live or who to marry, but we ought to ask that same question, and I know you maybe think I'm stretching the point, but I really believe this with all my heart. I believe that God has a will for the little things in our life. I believe he has a will for where he wants you to eat lunch today. I believe he has a will for, and some of you are already thinking about that. Just hang on a little bit. It's not even noon yet. But he has a will for where he wants you to eat lunch today. He has a will for how he wants you to spend the rest of the day. And we ought to get in the habit of, before we make any decision in our life, asking the question, God, what is your will? And so this morning I preach a message I've entitled, How to Know God's Will. I'm not going to give you a secret formula, but I want to say three things to remind you that God does have a will for everything that happens in your life. And we would be wise as his children, as members of his family, to seek that will before we make any decision. So three things I want to point out to you this morning. Number one, I want you to realize that God does have a will for your life, both in the big and small decisions that you make every single day. He has a plan. Our God has a plan for every person that is born. Now listen, you may think that you were just born. You may think that God had no idea that you were going to be born. You may think that you came into this world and then God decided what, once you came into the world, that God put a plan together for your life. I do not believe that's how it works. I believe that God had a plan in mind for you before you were conceived. I believe that he had a plan in mind for you, something that he wanted you to do. And you were born and you were equipped and you were given the experiences in your life to fulfill that will that God had for you or has for you. I mean, our lives are not like newspapers blowing in the wind. He has a charted course for each of us. He has a plan for every single person. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me to think that the God that created the universe, the God that hung the stars and the sun and the moon in place, the God that created everything that we see in this earth, the God that is omnipotent, the God that is omniscient, the God that is omnipresent, those are just three words that mean God is all-powerful, he's everywhere at the same time, and he knows everything. That God has a plan for me and has a plan for you. Just think about it. The God that made everything has a specific plan for your life and for my life. And until that truth sinks down in our life, until that truth gets in the very essence of our being, that God has a plan for my life, we won't look for it. Until you realize that, until you grab a hold of that truth, and once you grab a hold of it, it ought to cause us every day of our life to say, God, what's your will? You see, we don't look for anything unless we really believe it happened. I mean, I could get up here this morning, I can tell you, hey, last night there was an airplane that was carrying a shipment from the U.S. Mint. They had just minted $200,000 worth of silver dollars, and they were flying over our church, and the doors of the plane came open. And all those silver dollars are buried on our property, and they're just out there ready for us to find it. Nobody's getting up because you don't believe it's true. It's not true. But if I could take you out there and take you out there and say, hey, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, there wouldn't be a person left. We'd all be out there looking for silver dollars because I've proven to you that they exist. Well, this morning, I want you to understand something. You need to look for the will of God in your life because it exists. Amen. You need to pray and ask God what His will for you is today and tomorrow and the next day. And every decision that you have to make, you need to pray and ask God to reveal that will to you. Because that will is a reality. That will exist. You did not come into this world without a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. As I read the Bible, it amazes me how much interest God shows in each one of us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 30, it says, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." God knows the number of hairs I have on my head and that you have on your head. Now stop and think about that. He knows. He has the exact number. He knows the exact number. In Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7, it says that God knows our sorrows. Some of you are here this morning, you have a heartache. Some of you have heavy heartaches. I want you to know that your God knows about those heartaches. You don't bear them alone. He's there with you. He knows what you're going through. In Psalm 56, verse 8, the Bible says He records our tears. He knows every time we shed a tear about something that's going on in our life. It doesn't just happen and God's not aware of it. He knows about every tear that we shed. The Bible says He records it. In Psalm 139, verse 2, it says, "Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising." Just stop and think about it. God cares enough about us that every time I sit down and every time I get up, He knows about it. I mean, He's got His eye on us. He has a plan for our life. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He knows our sorrow. He records our tears. He knows every time we sit down and get up. Don't you think if God knows that much about us, He's got a plan for our life? He does. He does. He has a will for each of our lives. So, number one, realize that God has a will for you, a plan for you. Number two, if you're going to find His will for your life, you need to do this. You need to surrender your will to His will. John 7, verse 17. "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine." In other words, if you want to know what the will of God is in every decision that you face in life, you have to, before God reveals that will to you, say, "Whatever it is, I'll do it. I'll do it." In order for God to reveal His will to us, we have to say, "I'm willing to do it." Debbie and I got married in 1973. We got married in August. I started graduate school in September. So we went on a three-week honeymoon, and then we moved into a little apartment in West Lafayette, Indiana. And we were on a honeymoon for a year and a half. I'll never forget, the first week we were there, I came home from school. It was a Thursday. It's in my mind like it happened yesterday. And I came home. I didn't have class the rest of that day. And she says, "Honey," she called me honey back then. She said, "Honey, will you do something for me?" I said, "Sweetheart, whatever you want, I'll do it." And the next 3 hours, I was on my hands and knees, stripping the wax off the floor and putting a new coat. I learned something that day, Brother Ron. You know what I learned? There were many times after that where she said the same thing. She got to the point, she didn't call me honey. She said, "Daryl, would you do something for me?" Here's what I always said: "What is it?" What is it? It depends what it is, if I'm going to do it or not. Now listen, too many people treat God that way. Too many people, God has a will for their life, and we want to know what it is before we agree to it. That's not the way it works. That's not the attitude that God wants us to have. God wants us to take out a blank piece of paper, sign our name at the bottom, give it back to Him, and say, "Whatever you put on there, I'll do it." Amen. You just write it down. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't have a will of my own. Whatever your will is, that's what I want to do. So that's what you need to do. You need to surrender. I need to surrender my will. We need to say like Jesus, "Not what I want, dear God, but what you want." If we're going to go know God's will, we've got to absolutely surrender to His. Paul said in these verses that we read from Romans chapter 12, give yourself as a living sacrifice. Give yourself as a living sacrifice. Someone said the only ability that God wants in us is our availability. Look, we just need to say to God, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then we need to be willing to do it. Because if we have a will of our own, if we say to God, I want to pick and choose, you show me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide if I want to do it or not. God said, no, I'm not going to tell you then. You have to decide beforehand that you're going to do God's will regardless of what it is. See, we're a tool. God, we're tools. God has a plan for our life, and that the plan for our life is put together with the plans of everybody else to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in his kingdom. None of us would use a tool if it had a mind of its own. Let's say this microphone was a hammer. I'm not going to beat on it because Adam will get mad at me. But let's say this is a hammer. And I've been driving a lot of nails lately, but I want to drive a nail. If this hammer says, when I pick it up to drive a nail, I don't want to drive a nail over there. I want to drive a nail over here. What am I going to say? Hey, Mr. Hammer, it doesn't matter what you want to do. I'm the one that decides what nail needs to be driven. We're going to drive a nail over there. The hammer might say to me then, well, listen, I have a headache today. Could you use somebody else? We laugh, but that's what we say to God a lot. We say to God, I understand what you want me to do, but I think it'd be better to do it over here. And God says, no, who do you think's in charge, me or the tool? We're just tools. When God picks us up, he wants to use us where he wants to use us. Can you imagine how different the story of Abram would be if Abram would have said, I'm not going to go until you tell me where I'm going? God would have said, no, I don't want that kind of obedience. I want absolute obedience that says wherever it is, even if I don't know where it is, I'll go. I'll do it. And so we need to surrender our will to him. We need to become available. Being available means being accessible. Every area of our life needs to be open to God. Every door of our life needs to be open. We were on vacation week before last, and we got up early to do our thing, and we passed all these doors in the place that we were staying. Do not disturb, do not disturb, do not disturb. You know what that means? It means you can do what you want to out there, but leave me alone in here. Too many of us have do not disturb signs on areas of our life that God can't come in. You say, can't God enter every area of our life that he wants to? Yes, he can, but he chooses not to. He stands at the door of the area of our life and knocks and waits for us to open that door. We need to have every area of our life accessible to him. Take down the do not disturb signs. Being available means not only being accessible, it means being acceptable. Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. If we regard sin in our life, God will never reveal his will to us. Get rid of the sin. Live for God. Live righteous. You want to live for him? You want to know what his will is for your life? Then get rid of the sin. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, get rid of it. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the sin that you don't know about. I'm talking about the sin you know about. I'm talking about the sin the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. I'm talking about the sin the Holy Spirit has convicted you of. Get rid of it. God has a perfect will for your life. He wants to reveal it, but he can't reveal it if you're not acceptable. It also means being adaptable. Being available means being accessible. Every area of your life open. Being acceptable. Getting rid of the sin. It also means being adaptable. It means if you need to change something that God wants change, change it. Amen. Change it. His will is always better than our will. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So, how do we know God's will? Again, I'm not giving you a secret formula. I'm just giving you some principles. Know, first of all, he does have a will for your life. No, second of all, that to find it, you have to surrender your will to his. Number three, you need to walk in the light he's already given you. You need to walk in the will he's already revealed to you. I don't think while we're here on this earth, God will ever take us aside and say, okay, here's the plan that I have for you for your complete life. I don't think you'll open a book and say, read it. Here's the plan I've had for you since you were born. Here's what I'm working on now. Here's what I have in the future. I don't think God would ever do that. We might say, well, I'd be a whole lot better off. I'd be a whole lot better servant. I'd be a whole lot better Christian. I could accomplish a lot more if he would, maybe. But if he did that, we would miss the most important thing. The most important thing in finding God's will for our life is to have faith in the planner. And if he opened the book and showed us the plan, we wouldn't need any faith. And so he says, I want you to have faith in me. And we want to say, well, show us the whole plan. We'll be a whole lot better. And God says, no, you won't. If I showed you the whole plan, you won't have faith in me. I want you to have faith in me. Just walk in the light I've already shown you. I had a pastor one time. His name was Rick Fox. He was a hillbilly from West Virginia. Where's Brother Ed at? I didn't see him this morning. I thought I saw LMA. Oh, there he is back there. Yeah, he was a hillbilly from your part of the country, Brother Ed. He was a coal miner. One Sunday night when he was preaching, he brought his coal mining hat in. It was a metal hat with a little light on the front of it. And he said, when I worked in the coal mines, we wore this hat down there to where there weren't any lights. And that light on the top of our head provided light. And he made this illustration. It's the same thing I'm preaching about. He said, if I was down in that coal mine and I was in a tunnel and I had my hat on with a little light on the top and I shined it down the tunnel, if I would have said, I'm not going to take another step until I see the end of the tunnel, he said, I never would have got anywhere. I wouldn't have been much of a miner. But he said, I could see the next 25 feet. He said, if I took those next 25 feet, I could see another 25 feet. Still couldn't see the end of the tunnel, but I could see the next 25 feet. From that little light on top of my head, on my hat. If I would have took the next 25 feet, I could see the next 25 feet. That's how God wants to work in our life. He's not going to show us the end of the tunnel. He's not going to show us the end of the plan. He's not going to show us how it's all going to come out. He's going to show us the next step to take. And when we take that step, hey, we'll get to see the next one. And when we take that step, we'll get to take the next one. And so if you want to know God's will in your life, just go ahead and be obedient to the will that he's already shown you. Say, well, preacher, what will has he already shown me? All right, let me give you a couple. First of all, his will for every person's life here is for you to get saved. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You don't need to study it. You don't need to ask a lot of questions. You just need to know that God's will for every person's life is to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if you're a sinner here this morning, the first step, and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, the first step in finding God's will for your life is to come, admit you're a sinner, admit that there, and understand that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God. Understand that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid your penalty. Hey, I remember the day I got saved. I remember that night I knelt beside that red vinyl couch and I told God I was a sinner and there was nothing I could do about it and I was depending on Jesus Christ to save me. If you're here and you've never done that, that's a first step in the will of God for your life is for you to come to Jesus Christ. Don't put it off. Come now. You see, the plan that he's got for the rest of your life is better than anything that you can come up with. And it all starts by receiving Christ as your Savior. Amen. So if you're here this morning, walk in that light. Take that first step. He'll show you the next one. It's God's will that we tell other people about Jesus. He said, he's not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that you should go and bear fruit. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's his will. We don't need to study it. We need to ask a lot of the questions. That's what he wants us to do. That's one of the reasons he saved us, so that we could be his representative in this world, so we can tell others about Jesus Christ. Walk in that light. He'll take that step. He'll show you the next one. That's how the will of God works. We need to know there is a will. We need to be sold out to it And then we need to start walking in what he's already shown us. And as we start walking in what he's already shown us, he'll show us the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and the next step. And I'll close with this statement. There's not a better place for a child to be than in the will of God for their life. Not a better place. Not a better place. You won't find contentment. You won't find satisfaction. You won't find the richness of life any place else. And when Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about that kind of life. A life lived in his will. A life lived in the plan that he devised for you before you were conceived. A life that he has planned to fit together with all the other plans in this place we call our church to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in this area. Find God's will for your life. He has one. Sell out. Sell out to it. And then start walking. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you that you love us enough that before we were born, you had a plan for our life, and you've been working that plan. And I know, Father, sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we rebel, and sometimes you have to change your plan. But you always have a plan, even for the most disobedient ones among us. You always have a plan. And I pray, Father, that we would seek it. I pray we'd surrender to it. And I pray we'd walk in it. I pray this morning for those that might be here that haven't taken the first step in your plan for their life, that step of salvation. Help them understand that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. It's to be separated from you forever. But when Jesus went to Calvary, he took all of our sin upon himself. He paid the price that we owed. And he's able to offer to every single person the gift of eternal life. I pray, Father, if there's just one person here that's not made that decision for Christ, that in the next few moments as we stand and as we have an invitation song, that they would see their sin. They would see their need for Jesus. And they would come and we could take the Bible and show them from your word how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Every person here in one form or another is facing decisions today, tomorrow, the next day. Father, help us to understand you have a plan. You know how you want us to decide. Help us to seek that will and to do it. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.